seats. How many's happy to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
In a lot of places we could be, but thank God we're here. And so just want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. That's quite a few here in the assembly and some that are potentially going to be one of these days. So, amen.
Yeah.
We just want to just say that we're thankful for good fathers. You know, you're a blessed home when you have both a father and a mother.
Yeah.
Amen. In a day where it's a pandemic,
yeah,
that the homes are had just one parent, or they're, yeah, most of the time just a mother without a father.
Yeah.
And even outside of Christianity, they picked up on that and realized what a terrible thing it is and the weight that follows that. And so, you know, I feel like that our little assembly is blessed to have as many homes as we do with dads. Dads can bear things on their shoulders that no one else in the family can.
Right.
And so if you're part of a family that, like that, just remember today, be thankful to the Lord, to our Heavenly Father, for what He's provided, but also your earthly father. Amen. Just appreciate those things. And so I just want to remind everybody, in 2 weeks from right now, Brother Ben Norrod will be with us the 29th, a Saturday night, 6 p.m., and then, of course, the next morning at 10:30 a.m., we'll have service there with him. If you like some good singing, some good preaching, I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself, most of you know him. And so just remember, Saturday night, we want to have foot washing and communion. And so, you know, communion is a good time for everyone to really just search their hearts between now and then. And, you know, it's an opportunity for everyone just to really search their hearts and search through their lives and just take everything and put it under the blood. If there's anything that's not there, you certainly want to do that. So we're just looking forward to that time. I want to encourage you between now and then just to spend the time, special time with the Lord to do that. Amen. And so may the Lord just, each one of us, just in our own experience, just boil it right down to what it really means to be a Christian in this hour and what we need to be. And just trust that He will do that. Amen. How many loves the Word?
Amen.
You know, I was meditating the other day, and I was thinking about, you know, the manna. And the manna, when it would fall, the children of Israel had to pick it up every day and eat it, right? And if they tried to let any of it last past one day and leave it overnight, the Scripture said that the next day it would have worms in it, and it would stink. And so we know that's a type that as God has living word for us each day. We can't just live on what we had yesterday. We've got to have fresh manna today. And so we know that. But you also know that in the Scriptures, that every time there was a priest, high priest come along, you know, they had some of that manna kept there in the ark. And it was, I think they called it an omer. But they keep that in there. And then when a high priest would come in, he was allowed to go in there and reach in there and take some of that manna, because that manna inside the ark did not spoil. It did not bred worms or stink like that. And so he was able to go through there and go back and not just, you know, not just manna for the day, but he was able to go all the way back and reach in there and have a taste to see that God was real in every age, every previous day. You could see that word was what it is. And so just want to encourage you this morning to know that the Word of God, in the presence of God, does not get old. It doesn't get stale. Amen? We know that. So may the Lord bless you. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 30. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at the parallel Paul is making here. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. And I want to read from Revelation 19, 19, verse 6 through 10. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren and of the and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're just thankful in our hearts, Lord, because of your promises. You're so faithful, Lord, just to be here, come into the house of God, watch over your people. And so, Lord, we turn to you this morning. We ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts, that, Lord, that you would just have your way today, just come, Lord, this morning and do what only you can do. We just pray, God, as we surrender our hearts to you, and as the song was, the more we surrender, we just pray, God, that you'd be able to speak to us, speak to every heart, break every chain. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. How many love the Lord? This morning, we're just going to title this The Mystery of the Bride of Christ Revealed. The Mystery of the Bride of Christ Revealed. You know, over the course of your life, you've had hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions of things that have been said to you and things that have been done to you or done for you or around you or about you. Hundreds of thousands of things. Probably, maybe even millions of things. If you're as old as I am, maybe millions. But you know, most of those things that happened, you don't remember. Right? You don't remember them because they're just, you know. But there are some of those things throughout your life that you do remember. And the reason why you remember those is because they meant something to you. Mm-hmm. It made an impact on your life. And it was those things that made a difference in your life and that mold you, perhaps making you what you are today. Right? It's usually, just like we know, I was hearing a sermon recently, but when the horse rider went out and the first one did what he did through the lives of people. And he did it to other people. Right? And when Christ went out with that anointing to combat that, the Lord did that through people.
Right.
It's been that way through all the ages.
Right.
And so people have said things or done things in your life that has impacted you, made a difference for you. You remember it to this day, and it has had a lot to do with who you are now. And so those were experiences where through someone or through some event, something you learned, something you experienced that had impact in your life, and that's with you today. Even to this day, it means something to you. I can look back and I can name specific things that people did in my life. For some reason, it just stuck right there and meant something to me to this day.
Right.
Amen. And I think we can all say that we've had experiences like that, that we can look back on those things like that. And so those are times that had meaning. And so, you know what I'm saying? With all that is not everything that goes on is going to stick, right? Mm-hmm. But there are things in life that do matter, that do make a difference.
Right.
And of course, we don't know that now. We look back now and can look back on it. But as those times were going on and as those things were happening, we didn't know. We didn't realize the impact that was about to happen in our lives or anything like that. Sometimes. But yet things were happening and that would make a difference in our lives. And our Christian walk is the same way.
Right.
right? It's the, you know, we've been to church thousands of times, right? And most of the sermons you probably don't remember, right? But along the way, God has done things that made a difference in your walk.
Right.
Something that's with you just as real today. And it's those kind of things that's making you what you are and what you will be in the Lord.
Right.
Right? Right? When we all come up on the other side, we're going to be the result of the things that God has done through the lives of people and through His Word and experiences you've had that will mold you and make you what you will be when you stand there. And it's happening. And most of the time we don't realize it while it's going on, what it is that's happening. But yet it's God. And it's those things that matter. And so, you know, it's that kind of thing, those things that we remember or make those differences that we want to remember, right? And we do. But what we want to remember is those things are what make us. It's not all the other noise in between those events. Most of life, you know what I'm saying? So much noise, so much this, so much that. But it's the real things, the things that matter, that stick into our experience.
Right.
That's what makes you who you are. That's what you got to focus on. That's what you got to remember. And that's what you got to look for in daily life. Look for those times and those experiences where in ourselves we don't have a clue what it is. But look for it in all that. Look for God. Look for Him to do something and to move. And to move you a little further down life's road in His experiences with you, right?
Right.
We understand it because when it gets right down to it, what really matters is the real things of God that matter.
Right.
We don't come to church and we don't read our Bibles, we don't pray, we don't come to church just to fulfill some duty. Well, I'm supposed to do this, so this is why I do it.
Right.
Because if that's all we're doing, we get nowhere. Right? We get nowhere if that's all we're doing, but we want to seek God. We want to look for Him in everything that goes on. Watch for those times where God will speak to you and do something in your life that'll make you and mold you and make you to what you should be.
Right.
Because that's what really makes you who you are anyway. And so we want to seek Him and look for those things that have meaning. Those things that, when I say have meaning, when we're talking about God, we're talking about those things that become a revelation to you.
Right.
Something that has changed you that you'll never forget. Mm-hmm. Something that no one can take away from you.
Yep.
Right.
Because it's those things, it's who you really are. Mm-hmm. You're not all that other stuff, but you're the real things that had impact out of the Word of God. And it happens through men, but just remember, it's God. It's events and things that God does in your life. And you look to Him to know that it's Him. Amen?
Amen?
We are thankful for ministry. We are thankful for brothers and sisters. But we must always remember it's God who gives the increase.
Right.
He's the one doing this. And that's what we want to focus on. I don't care about anything else. I want to know what God can do in my life to make me more like Him.
Right.
And whatever pathway He has to take me or us through to do that. Right? We could all say that. Whatever it is. But if we could just be like Him, more like Him tomorrow than I am today. Amen. And I believe that's the cry of every real Christian.
Right.
To be that way. And so, I believe that we're just like Jesus. When I was speaking recently, how that Jesus found Himself in the Scriptures. You know, He was like us. And the reason why I'm focusing on that recently is because I want you to know that you can do it.
Right.
Who told you can't overcome?
Right.
You can do it, and you don't have to have lightning bolts coming from heaven to do it.
Right.
You can do it but you've got to do it just the same way He did it.
Yeah.
Right? And so he could have used His supernatural powers, but He didn't, because He wanted to be that example for us. That you can make it through anything Satan throws your way as long as you do it that way, right? To stay with His Word like He did. And so I believe we as Christians, all of us, we have to come that way. We have to find ourselves in the Scriptures. We have to find ourselves in the plan of God and say, this is where we are in this hour. This is what God is doing. And I can see in the Bible, there's a life in me that I see matches that.
Right?
Right? And if you don't see that, if you don't see your experience matching the Bible, then you seek God until He does that and moves you until you can see that. So, like the story of the little boy seeing himself for the first time in the mirror. Didn't know anything about it, but you know, you've heard it. He'd look in the mirror and he'd raise his hand, and the little boy in the mirror would raise his hand. And finally, he got a revelation. And he turned to his mother and said, Mama, that's me. That's me. Every time the word says raise your hand, you find out you're raising your hand. Every time the word said do this, you find out, hey, that's me. I see that real life working in me, causing me to be what I see for this day.
Right.
That's what we must see in our experience. And so to find out that life that's there in the Bible is living in us. And if you don't have that, if that, we all grow into that, okay? You understand, even as an early Christian, maybe you not understand that, but we God wants you to grow into that kind of experience so you know who you are in Scripture, because if you don't know who you are in God, you don't know who you are.
Right.
We came here because He sent us here.
Right.
And we have to come to the place where we know, I know exactly, and you know exactly, we're here because God sent us, and so once you know your position in God, there ain't a thing Satan can do to move you out of that revelation.
Right. Amen.
And I don't care what he sends your way. He will not move you because you know who you are in God.
Right.
And so, we believe that. You know, revelation, only God can give that.
Right.
God holds revelation to himself.
Right?
When I say that, he holds the ability to give that to himself. This is God's way of, of vetting or whatever. This is God's way of showing who is his, who's his, and not, in other words, not leaving it to a man to say, oh, here's my people. Mm-hmm. See? Because everybody can say, whoa, it's us, it's me, it's me, it's us. Everybody would do that. But God holds it to himself. He and he alone is the one that can drop a revelation in the heart of people that people know exactly who they are. He alone can do that.
Right?
Amen. And so we know that he controls that. And so I say all these things to say this because as we talked this morning, God has a bride. We must come, these things, you know, you got to know, and before you can do something, you got to know what you're doing, mm-hmm. Right? God is not God running a program where we just stumble into things. He knows exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And so we can't stumble into things. God wants you to absolutely come on that ground where Satan cannot move you.
Right.
Amen? And so, God has a bride, and we've got to come to the understanding there is plenty of churches, there are plenty of females, as we talk here in the Scriptures, there's plenty churches out there that want to be and claim to be the bride of Christ.
Right?
There's churches, and there's a bride. That's the one that would be proper, perhaps the single most important revelation for people to understand in this day. There is a difference. Not because a man says it, but God is the one that holds that. He's the one that holds that imparting of revelation. And so there is a church and there's a bride.
Right.
There is a difference. And if we confuse the two, we're not going to get very far in understanding who we are and understanding what's going on in this day or understanding the entire plan of redemption as it's unfolded. We must come to that understanding, and God holds it. So I say all these things to show you God's word is right, and he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. And we want to be partakers of that. We want to have that revelation, and he can give that to you. And that makes a mark of distinction when he does that. Because there are churches, and then there's a bride.
Right.
Everything natural, type spiritual. So There's only one lady that's going to go home with Brother Daniel today. Or there's one lady that's going to go home with Brother Tim today. Right? That's their wives. So, all natural type spiritual. There's many, many brides, whatever, but there's one bride of Christ that's going home with him. Right? We understand that. So what I was showing you is that God makes this distinction. And for us, what we want to do is we want the Word of God to show us that distinction. We must understand who we are. We must understand why we stand where we stand. And we must be able to tie it to Scripture. Because this is God's ultimate right here. And we must be able to do that. We can tell that the entire Bible, the whole plan is centered around one thing, and that is God, Christ, finding a bride.
Right.
That's the whole, it's all through from Genesis to Revelation. You have to understand that as God at the end has shown that he would bring revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of his word, that he reserved a great portion of that to be revealed here at the end time. Can't fault people of other ages. But now here at the end time, would open that up and allow us to be able to look through the entire Bible and see this thing that has been hidden throughout all these ages. And that was God was going to have a wife. He's going to find this bride of Christ. And we read there in Ephesians where he said he would provide it. He would provide for himself this wife without spot or blemish, speaking of what she's wearing, or wrinkle, or any such thing, right? See, I don't want to be up here or anywhere else speaking where the Bible's not speaking.
Right.
But brother, sister, if the Bible is speaking, I want to speak,
right?
And I've told people throughout my whole Christian experience, if I'm telling you something and you don't believe or don't know if it's in the Bible, ask me. I will show you, because I'm not going to preach it if I don't see it there.
Right?
And that's what we should all say. We should all do. But every one of us must know that our foundation is this word right here. It can't be Brother Tony or Brother Daniel. Can't even be Brother Branham. It has to be back to this word, because then you know, right? There has to be an ultimate. There can't be four or five bosses. This has to be boss right here, this word. Amen? And so we want to tie these things in there. And so he said he would provide this wife to himself. And he talked about how that she would be his body and he would take care of her. And that in the natural, men should do the same thing. We just read it. So we know that if he said he's going to provide one, you know he's going to have one. It's going to happen. Right? Then we read in Revelation chapter 19 to be... That be glad and rejoice. And I've expressed it a few times in the past how that you know, this whole, if you could have seen throughout all ages and you was watching all this unfold and you did know that he was looking for a bride, because again, most of the age he didn't know this. But now we do. But if you could look at that, then you could say, a wife for God? Who could do that? Who could be able to be that bride for him that he would look to and say, she's the one?
Right.
And so throughout all ages, the struggle and all the things that has happened, but the scripture said there at the end of Revelation, rejoice, because the marriage has come.
Right.
There has been a bride found. Because if there wasn't, it couldn't be saying, rejoice that the marriage has come. Right, so you know, even Scripture tells you that there is a bride, and at that time, rejoice.
Amen.
Begin to rejoice, because there is one. There is a bride.
Amen.
Right, this marriage is happening.
Right,
and so I'm. It's not just me saying it, or Brother Daniel, or Brother Branham. The Word is saying this. That in his word there is a bride, he's going to make sure and to present to himself, and when he presents her, she's going to be without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing.
Right.
It's going to be just as sure as anything.
Right.
She's going to be there. And I believe it's right now that he's providing it right now.
Amen.
Right? And so it's rejoicing time.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Rejoice heavens and earth.
Yes.
Because this whole thing that all the ages has worked toward has finally come. Right? That's what he's telling us there. And so the marriage has come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Right.
She has. Right? And so, because we know the entire Bible is all centered around this, and that he has to look for a virtuous woman, and finally he finds her. When you look at all that, then and all this, who is this bride? We can look at all the churches, Catholic and all the different ones, and Buddha and all that, and we can say, well, perhaps they're the ones, or perhaps this is the one. But who of us is sufficient to say which one it is? See what I'm saying? It's not up to us to say which one it is.
Right.
But God has a way. It's up to Him. And He has a way to show which one it is. There is a distinction. Right? And so we want to turn to the Word of God and see, what is that distinction? Who is this bride? How does she come into being and so forth? And so, because we understand that this is all centered around marriage, and God would be looking for this bride and this whole history of human coming to this end time climax of actually finding one, because of that, then when we read scriptures and we look at parables and we look at all the scriptures as things saying things, and we can understand these concepts, that when we find the words in the Bible, the words bride, then we kind of can see what that, okay, we know what that means, right? Everybody see? We know what that means. Wife. The word wife. We understand what that means. See, God does these things. He's way above us.
Right.
Yeah. But He has to come down and use our language.
Right.
He has to use our concepts that maybe He even put within us. But he wants to speak to us through things that we can understand.
Mm-hmm.
See, we understand what it means to be bride.
Right.
We understand what it means to be a virtuous bride.
Right.
All right? And to be wife. We understand that. We understand what a virgin is.
Right.
We know what that means. We know the implications of what these terminologies mean.
Right.
Right? And we have to apply them to the Word of God. It is His Word. And so apply it to the revelation as God is dealing with us, so that the revelation coincides with these terms that God is showing us. So we know what He thinks when He says bride. We know what He thinks when He says wife or virgin. And we also know what He means, and forgive me for using this word, but it's in God's Bible, and I don't want to water it down. But we also know what He means when He says whore.
Right.
And we know what He means when He says harlot.
Right. Yeah.
Right? We understand that. So when we can read the scriptures and we find out these descriptions, then we can see volumes into what God is trying to tell us, and the concept of why He's labeling the way He does.
Amen.
Right. We can see that. And so, any decent man will tell you, any man, a Christian man especially, will tell you he doesn't want a wife who's the harlot.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So, we understand that, and it shouldn't be a problem for us to turn around and say, then that's the way God is. God does not want someone who's a harlot. Or a whore.
Right.
Same thing. We understand that. So, as I said a while ago, we know He's going to have a bride. So what about her makes her bride? And others has a different description. There's a difference. See? And I want to express this morning that we don't want to blur the lines. We want to make it very clear that God makes a distinction. There is a reason why He has chose the bride and not the others.
Right.
It's just like a man, you know, those of you that are married, you know, you fell in love with your wives, and maybe your wives were beautiful. Maybe they still are. But why is my wife laughing here? But they... You know, I hope that the reason why you married your wife was not because she was beautiful, but that there was something in her that really spoke to your heart. See what I'm saying? And if that's the main thing, then than all the other, when the beauty goes away and all the nice figure goes away and all the pot belly begins to show out, if that's what's right there in your relationship, you'll be held strong. Because temporal things are temporary. But things that matter are eternal. Right? You see what I'm saying? And so we know that if we would look at it that way, then it would be that God would too. Right?
Right.
We would know that too, that there is a God has a way of choosing the bride.
Right.
And it would fit godliness.
Yeah.
And it's His choice. By His criteria. What He would say. Not I say anybody else, no book, commentary, nobody else. It's what God has, because it's His wife.
Right.
It's what speaks to Him. And who would come along, you know, some of my wife's friends have told her she could do better than me. Right? And maybe she could have, but not if God had called us to do it. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter that you know, it come out in the paper that you're going to be married and four or five girlfriends come to you and said, "What? Hey, what are you doing?" I thought, I'm talking about past girlfriends. It doesn't matter. See? The connection of this bride and this marriage is much higher than anything anybody else can be involved. It's between him and her. And so I'm just saying there is a criteria that defines why he chose her and not others.
Right.
And so we know that he's going to have this bride. And so what makes her? What is it about her? And then I want to say this, that we know that at the end time, as we've read, the rejoice, for the marriage has come. This thing's unfolding, right? This thing's happening. And she has made herself ready. The scripture said it was granted to her the ability to make herself ready for this marriage was given to her. We know that. I'm back in the Bible, right? I'm saying the scripture this morning. I always do, but I'm just specifically showing you. This is scripture. That she made herself ready, and obviously she made herself ready with whatever that had been given to her to make herself ready. And so my question, as I want to go forward this morning to give to you this morning, as I said, what makes her bride? But I also want to say this, what is it that was given to her that she could put on and make her ready? What is it? Amen? Like I said, these things are written in a way where we can understand it. And so, we're going to go through several scriptures this morning. By the way, I printed out scriptures and put on little leaflets of paper, and they're back in the entryway on the table because there's a lot of them. But I want you to be able to go back to scriptures and see this. And so, they're back there for you to be able to take home and study yourself. Because we need to be convinced.
Yeah.
Amen. Convinced. Right. We must know who we are.
Right.
Why we are who we are.
Yeah.
And it must be the Word of God. That's our tie. So we know that God had chosen Apostle Paul to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Because prior to that, the gospel had not been given to us. When the woman at the well met with Jesus, you can see in the conversation there. Amen? Salvation is of the Jews, said Jesus. But when they rejected him, God used Paul to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And so what we know, and I'll say again this morning, God would go to the Gentile people for a bride.
Right.
And so in Acts chapter 9, verse 13 through 16, we're going to roll through these. This is Ananias had been praying, and Paul had been persecuting the church. And Paul had been smitten off his high horse, and he was now sitting over there blind. And God spoke to Ananias and told him to go over there and pray for Paul. And Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard of this man This one who persecutes, right? I've heard of this man, how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. I want you to pick up on it, to bear my name. Bear my name. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen? So, how do you have a man who's got a name? How do you preserve that name? How do you get that name to go on through further generations? You do it by having a child, a son.
Right?
How do you have a son? You get a wife.
Right.
So, well, how are we going to get a wife? Well, because I'm going to send Paul to get her. For my name's sake, I'm going to send him.
Right.
For my name's sake, all the other scriptures, you can look them up, the Gentiles of whom I'm going to be called by my name. Right?
Right.
I'm just showing, it's Bible. It's Bible that he was going to Gentiles. And it's Bible that he sent Paul to do it.
Right.
And it's Bible that when Paul said, I'm laying this foundation. And let everyone take heed how you build on that foundation. And if anybody comes, though we or an angel from heaven come and try to tell you anything else, let them be cursed.
Right.
This is Bible.
This
Gentile bride is built upon the gospel that was come to us through Apostle Paul and has been built upon through the ages. Right?
Right.
That's why it was so. That's why we've got to let these things shake us to the core to understand that. That's why it's so important that in that realm, everybody said, we're resting on that when the prophet said, I've taught the same thing Paul had. That should mean something to us.
Yeah.
See, I'm showing you that he would go and go to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 15 to go there, verse 13 through 18. After they had held their peace, James entered and said, men and brethren, hearken to me. Simeon has declared how God did visit the Gentiles to take out a people for his name. What is he talking about? Right? Same thing that I just showed you there. And to this degree, the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, for his name's sake. Right? Saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knows exactly what he's doing.
Right.
Visiting the Gentiles to get a bride. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is speaking to them as he's went out and years later has had all these churches and he's speaking to the Corinthians and he said, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. A chaste virgin, we understand what that means.
Right.
Virgin.
Right.
A chaste virgin, we understand the word chaste. So what is Paul saying here? Let's be grown up, see? Paul is saying he has visited the Gentile church, he's speaking to Corinthians, and he said, I have espoused you to Christ, that I may present you to him as a chaste virgin.
Right.
But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So Paul is speaking here to the Gentile people. And that's the whole concept, that God sent Paul to the Gentiles for this bride. And you understand, Bible customs that God had laid out there, there was a time of espousal. A time that she would be considered wife, I guess, as we know through Mary. But there would be a time there where it would think about a year or something like that, that they would just, it was a time to wait and make sure that she had not been impregnated by some other man. You understand? We understand that concept. So the espousal period was a period of time to make sure she's not defiled. So Paul is saying to the Gentile church, I have espoused you. He sent me to get a bride, and I have espoused you. I have come to you, and I've told you, you're going to be the bride of Christ. Now there's this period of time between now and the time that he comes to marry you, and you've got to be found virtuous during that time. But I fear that as I have been given this responsibility to present you as a chaste virgin, I fear that something's going to come along, and during that time of espousal, you're going to be defiled. Everybody with me? Pretty straightforward. So I fear that, and he takes it back to what happened in the garden. Right? Lest as the serpent beguile Eve. So same thing. But notice what he said there. If someone comes along and preaches to you another Jesus, or if you receive a different spirit than the Holy Spirit, right? Or if you receive another gospel, any of those three. And what you understand what he was saying? If you receive another spirit, you receive another Jesus, another spirit, or another gospel, you're no longer virgin. That's the thing he feared. I fear lest the serpent would come to you with another Jesus, another spirit than the Holy Spirit, or another gospel, something different than what Paul had preached.
Right.
I fear that if somebody comes with a different doctrine, you're not going to be counted as virgin anymore.
Right.
Amen. This is why serpent seed is so important. Because it makes it all come out so clear why and how and who this bride is at the end time.
Amen.
Amen. So Paul's saying, if they come in any other way, though he or an angel from heaven. So we understand the concept there. And then we go and we see in the book of Revelation chapter 17. And it shows there, Revelation 17, this great, what the scripture said, great whore. We read 17:1-7. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials to talk to me, saying to me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. It's peoples. Big church. Covered a lot of peoples. Right? With whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication. Now look, she's committing fornication. Right? And the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman set up on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet-colored and decked with gold and precious stones. She was fancy, right? She was decked with all these pearls. But having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations of filthiness of her fornication. This is what she was drinking from. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore, John, why are you marveling at this? Paraphrase, well, look at her. She's a church. She's a mighty church. Look, she's all decked with all these gold and all this stuff there, but I'm bewildered. Why is she drunk? Why is she drunk with the blood of the saints? So the angel says, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and 10 horns. And so We see the scriptures identifying this woman as a harlot, as someone who has committed fornication. Now you know she cannot be the choice of the Lord Jesus Christ for wife. Right? Why? Why is she labeled as a harlot? It's real simple. Because she had received another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Right? That's why. Because she was, it didn't say she had been having relations with the Word. It said she had been fornicating with the kings of the earth, politics, right? And so you can see there what the scripture is saying there about her. She was drunk with the blood of the saints. In other words, she had craved the power and sought after power to be able to martyr and kill and destroy God's people. And she was able to do that. She was able. And she was drunk on that. She was drunk on that power. Drunk. And so the whole thing, her whole entire actions, though she was a church and claimed to be, but God said she was a whore. And she had received other doctrine, and that's what made her what she is. And so he can't take her because she's been defiled. But in that defiled state, when it started out simple early on in the early church, and simple, start out simple, just a difference, you know, in beliefs or something like that. But you know that spirits grow, and those spirits grew and grew until she full blown come out as a red horse to destroy God's people. Full blown, right? And so you know that what she was drinking of was not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, the Holy Ghost, but the believers, you know, stimulation of revelation, right? She was drunk, but she wasn't drunk on Holy Spirit. And in that drunkenness, look at her whole character and her whole nature. So you understand. I'm just showing you that God makes a distinction with His Word. Why a people can be His bride and why they cannot be His bride. These are things that core truths of the Word that we must have, understand. I'm not talking about head knowledge, but I'm talking about revelation down inside to understand. God has a people,
right,
and there is a criteria that He looks for and He vindicates.
Right.
And that's who this bride is. That's how this bride is being revealed, when He reveals Christ. You may never, I use Brother Daniel as an example, him and Sister Vicky. Let's say that you never met Sister Vicky, but you watched Brother Daniel walk in with her, and you could make the connection. And when God would reveal the revelation of Jesus Christ, you could see who His bride will be.
Amen.
And that's what's been going on.
Correct.
You can see who she is. Amen. That wasn't the Holy Spirit they were drinking on. But such a powerful thing. Such a powerful thing going on in that false church. So powerful that John marveled. And you realize John types the church. John types the bride. So throughout the ages, the church didn't know. They could look at that powerful church system, And it would be bewildering to them, and they would kind of marvel at it. Well, maybe it's of God, maybe it's not of God. John marveling at this. And that whole thing was so powerful that it took an angel. An angel had to come and say to Paul, let me give you some instruction here. Not Paul, John. Let me show you there a special instruction from the angel that would help John understand what he was looking at. We take special instruction here at the end time as this is all unfolding for God to say, let me show you who this bride is, and let me also show you who this harlot is. And to be able to look at that and understand what the distinction is. This is why God has given this stuff to us, so we can understand by revelation, not by words, not by head knowledge, but by revelation, which he is imparting to his people to understand why there's a bride and how she's not the same as the church. John had to have a special instruction there because he marveled. But you know, the scripture said that she had daughters, right? The scripture said she had daughters that were harlots. So a harlot, same thing as a whore, same reason. The reason why she is labeled by God, because she received another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, and the daughters are the same way. So the thing that made the Catholic Church a problem for God, the thing that made God say, I can't choose that for my church, then the daughters are guilty of the same thing, and God can't use them either. This is his word. Concept of what we understand, that it must be that they received another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And that's why they can't be chosen. Right?
Right.
Amen. And so, Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 23, this church system we're talking about, the great whore, is called in the Bible the Jezebel. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against it, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. See there? Commit fornication. And to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. He was fair to her. He gave that system a chance to repent, and they wouldn't do it. They continued on in receiving false doctrine, receiving another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. So, judgment is pronounced. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them commit adultery with her in the great tribulation. See where we are when this is all unfolding? At the end time, this is when it's all going to happen.
Right.
We'll cast her and all those who commit fornication with her into tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. Okay, if she's got daughters, how are they her daughters? How is it that they're harlots? And we've already said, and we've got the declaration there that they will be killed with death. It's clear, right? But now we just have to understand, who is this that's the harlot, and who is this that's the daughters?
Right.
And the same thing that made them harlots, that made them ill-famed, is the same thing that made the daughters that way. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins of the heart. Everybody's going to know that he knows exactly what's going on inside the heart of all these churches and the hearts of all these people. And everybody's going to know, because he's going to straighten it all out. Know that I am he that searches the reins of their hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Amen. So we see God has a declaration of the difference between bride and church. And remember, he holds revelation. So I can't give that to anyone. See, Brother Daniel, it comes from God, right? So, you know, the scripture said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who abradeth not, right? But you got to ask in faith and not wavering. Because a man that's wavering, you know, is unstable, right, in all his ways. We got to be packed. God is God.
Right.
And I want him to speak to me. Because
right.
I want to walk away with an experience that changes my life.
Yeah.
See? And that's what I want to inspire you to do. God will do his word just what he said. Amen. It's always Satan's idea to try to distract people and get them off to the side where they're not catching what God is doing. But God is God. Amen. So the bride stands out, and I'm going to say it this way. She stands out because of her holiness. And I know that your mind goes all kinds of ways, but let me just simplify that. The word holy means set apart, consecrated for one purpose.
Right.
Is a harlot, is she consecrated? No. All kinds of seeds, all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of kings of the earth, She's not consecrated. I tried to show you, but what is it that makes us bride? It's this one that's consecrated to the Word alone.
Right?
The Word alone. And she's not been throughout all the ages, but she's now being revealed because He's being revealed.
Right.
She's being revealed that and Satan just fighting every which way he can, but she's consecrated. It's to the Word. She can't be anything else. We'll show you here in just a minute, just the scriptures to kind of point to that. She's consecrated. She's virgin. During this espousal period, she's not spoiling her skirts, as a term that we've used in the past. So then we turn now to Matthew 25. We'll read this. It's almost done. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. We understand that terminology. We know how that fits into this whole thing. God is looking for a virgin bride. She must be proven that she's virgin before he takes her. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. You know the customs. The bridegroom cometh midnight. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Why were some wise and why were some foolish? This applies. You may say, Brother Tony, you've heard this, but this applies to our walk every day. This applies to our battle, how Satan wants to come at us every day.
Right.
You may not. I pray God will show you how this is your battle.
Right now,
this is your battle. Amen. We're all together shooting for this victory day. Amen. And so they that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the doors were shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now you know the Lord knows them. You know he knows who they are. But what he's saying is, I'm not taking you in to consummate with you. I know you not. Right? Why? She was a virgin. See, this Matthew 25 is part of it too. And they're not harlots. They're not whores.
Right.
See? They are virgins. Right. Oh, but it takes more than that.
Right.
It takes more than just, and somebody asked me, I think, recently about this. And, you know, I said, look, harlots are harlots. They're not part of it. They're not. They're already declared harlots. They're not part. But now here's this group, virgins. So they're both potentially could be bride of Christ. But this parable is there to further clarify who this bride really is. That's what the scriptures are saying there. Further clarify. And so they're both virgins, but there were 5 that were foolish. 5 were wise, and we see what the scripture said there about why the foolish were there. The foolish were there because their oil had run out. They had some oil at some time, but it ran out. And so during this dark hour, when the bridegroom is coming, and the cry has been made, and both groups knew that it was time because they both rose up. They both knew that it was time to go out to meet the Lord at this rapture, at this coming, to go into the marriage supper, the marriage of the Lamb, which is happening, right? We know. He's going to have it. So both of them potentially there, and they both heard the cry. They knew the hour that they were in. They knew that they weren't harlots. They knew they'd been virtuous. But 5 of them were still yet further down, further clarified that there were five that still didn't make it. And the reason they didn't make it was because they didn't have Holy Spirit. It's not to say that they had never experienced that. That church movement maybe at one time had had that kind of experience, but as it progressed, as the dark hour rolled on, and as we got closer to this time of this marriage and this bridegroom cry, as he got closer, they ran out. They were virgins, but they ran out of oil. And so you understand the oil, it burns. The oil, the Holy Spirit, burns and gives light. Because in this dark hour, we need light.
Right?
We need light. And especially now that he said, now go out to meet him. That's what the scripture said. So there's something these virgins, they're gonna have to do something. They're gonna rise up and they're gonna have to trim their lamps so that they can have light, and they're gonna have to take that Holy Spirit that's burning within them, and by that Holy Ghost movement, they're gonna move on out and they're gonna meet him at his coming. But if they don't have that Holy Spirit, they can't do that. And so the scripture is further clarifying that they're not harlots, they're not all that. They've met the test, they're virgins, and yet, still yet, they have to be wise virgins.
Right.
That's how you make it. Right?
Right.
Now, I said all this, I want you to remember, God knows exactly. His works are all, he knows all, and he knows exactly who she is.
Right?
And there's something in her that'll do this. But you know, we all have to act it out. Who we are.
Right.
And so we all have to come to that place. And so what I show you is it's not just being in the message, not just knowing the quotes, or not just understanding these concepts, but there's got to be a fire burning this very hour upon these things that allows us to progress forward into this marriage.
Right.
That's what must be there. Amen. And so, without the Holy Spirit burning like that, now, you know, I say it all the time, and I just, not because our church name, God is a spirit, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. That word is truth. That word, the thing that she's virgin to, right? But there's got to be a spirit that quickens that.
Right?
And so to me, this movement can go in such a way that people can have this letter of the word. But without the spirit, it's just letter.
Right.
And but with the spirit, then now we are empowered to move on out to meet him. Amen. And so, you know, we've said this before. You can have rhema word, you can have logos.
Right.
You know how vulnerable communication is between people. That you can say something to someone and they get the wrong thought.
Right.
Now it's clear to you and you said it, but they get the wrong thought.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they go, and because they've got the wrong thought, they do the wrong thing.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, and that word just going out without the clear understanding, that's rhema. That's just the word. But logos, when it goes out, it has the thought with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that whenever when the person receives it, they don't have the wrong thought, they have the right thought. And so they go and do the right thing.
Right.
And what they do, they flesh out and match the word that sent them in the first place.
Right.
Right?
Now that's the bride. There's a certain action, there's a certain thing that allows her to rise up and go out and meet him in his coming and fulfill the word for this hour. And so in order for her to do that, she just can't have the letter of the word. She has to have the thought behind it. This is how the Pharisees could be so trained and miss him and call him a devil, But here, a woman who's at the a woman at the well can catch it without letters, having known all this stuff. And this transfers all the way down to this day, because, brother, sister, it's not about how good you work and how well you've done everything and dotted every. It's not that. It's what is the revelation burning in your heart, right? Because sometimes it just, you see it all through the scriptures. It's like Abraham. It's not the fact that he did this or did that. It's the fact that he believed. But what I'm showing you here is that we God wants us to have the thought behind the word. So that you're not doing something wrong. But you are walking in step with his word. So that you have the Logos. And the bride does. She has that. That is why she can know what to do with the word.
Right.
If she walking by head knowledge, she won't know. But when she's in the same spirit as the composer, then she'll walk right.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
She'll walk right. Why, I mentioned this the other day, why are so many women in the Bible that were barren types of the bride? Sarah, right? Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah. They were barren women. And as I said the other day, they're most likely not to have, you know, like, well, no children are going to come from them. But you realize that they walked for a long time in their lives and never brought forth. And the New Testament church has been going all through these seven ages. Not bringing forth Christ like what we're talking about. But every one of those women, when God moved, they brought forth. And to show you, so a lot of them Gentiles, to show you that this Gentile bride, it doesn't matter what all the ages have been or whatever, when God says, I have this bride, and the world might look at that and say, well, highly unlikely that that would be where Christ would come and have a child. But once God moves, she is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So she like Jesus. We like Jesus. Okay? Like he has done. We have to find ourselves. We can't just be floating along. We want to say, God, you've got to show me who I am, where I belong, so I can stand there and be. I none of us want to be quitters, right? We have that phrase, quitters never win, and winners never quit.
Okay.
That's true, right? It's Satan that wants you to quit. It's Satan that tells you can't win.
Right.
And all the while, you've got the word burning in your heart that says, I know different. There's something going on, right? And so, I will end just by encouraging and saying, these experiences that matter, that come from this word that has spoke to you in the past, may they be rekindled in you. May you go back and re-recognize how God spoke to you, and rekindle that fire in you that made you start out on this journey in the first place. There's many times we all have to do that and go back and find ourselves and rekindle that fire. I think as Brother Daniel in praying or whatever, some point in what he was saying there a while ago is to reconsecrate ourselves. But what are you reconsecrating yourself to? To the very thing that lit your fire in the first place.
Right.
Not all the everything else and all the noise and things and all the stuff we get caught up in everyday battles and work and all the cares of life and all that. But the things that matter.
Right.
That's what we want to connect to.
Right.
Because you know what? If a gunman came through the door right now, I believe probably any one of us would be willing to die for anybody else.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should be. And it should stay that way. Amen? It should stay that way. Christ died for us. Let us be willing to die for him. I don't mean just physically. I mean, but in our daily walk, to die out for him. Amen? Because these are, when it's right down, you've read it. You've heard the stories of people, powerful people, kings of great kingdoms throughout the ages. And on their deathbed, they could say, I'd give it all if I could just have 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes that I can make myself right with God.
Yes.
This world has a way of causing people to get caught up in things that don't even matter, wasting their time. Amen. But we want to connect to those things that are so important to us, things that make a difference, that mold us and make us into who we are. Amen. Let's just pray. Let the musicians come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the end of this service this morning, we're just asking, Lord Jesus, that you have spoken to every heart here today, causing each one, Lord Jesus, to be drawn closer to you. We know, God, that it does not lie within a man to do this. It only comes from you, Lord God. We're asking, God, that you just move the heart of your people. God, that they would come back and reassess their lives and their situations, Lord, especially here as we're going to have communion in a few weeks. We ask, God, that you just help each one of us just lay before you. And that our hearts, Lord, may be poured out before you. God, that you would just speak to us, each one. Lord, mold us and make us and shape us up just a little bit more like you. Let me say, Lord, not just a little bit more, but a whole lot more like you. Lord, it just burns within our heart that this hour is the way it is. Somebody's got to represent you. And so it's a desire in our heart to do so. Lord, we just ask, God, that you just move upon each heart now. Let these words sink down there deep, deep, fertile ground. May they ponder on it. Lord God, and may you give them increase. We give this honor and praise to you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Ask these things in Jesus' name.
Song.